Coming up, is the USDA sneakily trying to get non-organic foods into the organic food chain? We'll be looking at the wondersoffood.com website. Alan will be taking us through Bought, the movie, and we'll be asking the question, should we believe the health gurus? Hello and welcome to this edition of Low Carb Paleo Show. I'm joined in the studio again, as usual, by my co-host, Alan Brough. Alan, how are you today?
I'm fine, thank you, and hello to everyone.
So, Alan, what's been going on with you this week?
Well, I had a very interesting week. Actually, if you can believe that, I was approached by a lady that is shooting a movie about celiac disease, and she wants to talk to me as an expert. The movie's name is called 100% Gluten-Free. It is in the shooting process, or interview shooting in the process right now. And it should be out in a few months, and I'll let you know when it comes out. So look forward to see my my face, actually, instead of just my voice.
And it's a very handsome face, I should add.
Well, as long as you say so.
Oh, you're a good-looking chap.
What to the ladies out there?
He's a very good-looking chap.
I found out, thanks to one of my favorite sites, Food Democracy Now, that the USDA is trying to go behind the consumer's back and trying to change the standards to allow industrial producers to add synthetic substances into the new standards. Which we've been trying to fight off for years. And so we had a five-year, basically, agreement on not having synthetic substances into the new standards. But what's going on is the USDA, which is, I'll try not to be controversial, but let's just say that it's not always on the consumer's side.
No, go on, be controversial, say the truth.
Well, the truth is that the USDA is a government agency that is pretty much bought and paid for by the industry. And we had had to fight over the years very hard to keep the quality of the standards high, which is why people are buying more and more organic food, because they don't trust regular food anymore. So what happens is now the industry is seeing that there's a huge market for certified organic and trying to get the food in the door and try to alter the standards so that their products can be quote-unquote certified USDA organic, which is not acceptable.
No, not at all.
It's not at all. So they are putting a couple of industry people on the board and trying to force the issue by basically trying to go behind the National Organic Standard Board and trying to push their new laws into effect. And we have to fight this. And so there is an actual petition going on right now on Food Democracy Now. And you can go and look for Don't Let the USDA Destroy Organics. And you will see the petition there. Please add your 2 cents worth, sign it, and send a strong message to the USDA not to mess with our food, or they will have a revolt on their hands.
The other day, Alan and I had the pleasure of interviewing Mark Sissons about a whole host of different things, and you'll be able to hear that particular interview in about a week or 10 days' time. But in the meantime, there were a couple of questions that Mark answered. But there was one in particular that led on to portion size. I'll hand over to Alan and let him introduce that particular question as part of the interview.
There's been a known story, a study done, I believe it was in Sweden during the war, that discovered that when people were forced to eat less, they were actually healthier.
Yeah.
So, you know, being there's a difference between getting enough nutrients and stuffing your face or feeling full, which is not necessarily the healthy way to go about it.
I go to some of these conferences, these paleo conferences, and I look at people piling stuff up on their plate, and I think, really? Is this how you eat all the time? No wonder you're not getting the results that you seek.
Yeah. That's the magic of big free food, and also tends to Yeah.
But you know, you say the magic of free food, but then it just transcends into cheap food. So when right. food is inexpensive and restaurants are serving gargantuan portions, we have a place that's based in LA called the Cheesecake Factory. I don't know if you have those in your area.
We have it in Austin, yes.
You know, they say you could feed a village on some of the portion sizes that you get at the Cheesecake Factory. And, you know, God bless them for trying to appeal to the American appetite and requirement for value. But at some point, it becomes obscene. Now, with the Primal Blueprint, what we try to do is we try to teach people how to become good fat burners. We teach people how to burn off their stored body fat through manipulating hormones via diet, and that's this low-carb approach. So when you become good at burning off your stored body fat, when you become good at accessing ketones, you unburden your body of this regular requirement for more glucose every 3 or 4 hours. And one of the great things that happens is your appetite starts to self-regulate. You don't get hungry every couple of hours because of low blood sugar. You've fixed that part about you. You don't feel the need to rip someone's head off if you skip a meal. You just go about your day knowing that the 500 calories that you're going to burn over the next 8 hours is going to come from your thighs or from your belly instead of from a plate. And that's a real, again, another skill that we teach and that we hope people will develop through the Primal Blueprint is this ability to access stored body fat to the point that appetite regulates and then when you do sit down at a meal, there's not the tendency to overeat or to gorge or leave the table feeling guilty because you know that you overate or you gorged, but you just couldn't control yourself. So there's a real element of control in this as well.
So although the USDA might be allowing not so good stuff into our food, we're going to have a look at a site now that only allows good stuff in the food it suggests. That's Susie Walker's website, Wonders of Food. I was chatting with Susie the other night about what she's been doing lately, and she was saying as well as being a nutritional therapist, she's also running a website called The Primal Kitchen. Now, you may know The Primal Kitchen because it's not just a website. Primal Kitchen is a company that produces really nice, 100% paleo snack bars. Now, I'm not normally someone who likes snack bars simply because many of the ingredients they contain are quite honestly quite nasty. But Primal Kitchen snack bars are certified, firstly, 100% organic, and secondly, 100% paleo with none of the nasties. So give them a try and let us know what you think. But getting back to Susie's website, as you can see, Susie offers a huge amount of advice for people who either want to lose weight, who have got food intolerances, and who suffer with PCOS as well. In fact, a lot of our discussion the other night was about the various ways that she can help people overcome so many different health problems simply by changing their diet. So have a look at Susie's website, wondersoffood.com. So that's the website. Now, Alan, I noticed that you were spending money the other week backing a film. Does that mean that you're going to be a film mogul?
Not quite. I'm working on that part. But once in a while, I do like to put a little money in project, like in Indiegogo projects or
Kickstarter.
What's the other? Kickstarter, mm-hmm. Yes. And it can be anything like, supporting a friend, putting out a music CD, or there's about a couple of comic books designed mm-hmm. by artists I like. I'm a big comic book fan, so that's the reason. And I try to support artists in general, and it happens that this particular project, which is right up my alley, is talking about how... Actually, I should give you the name of the movie first. It's called Bought, mm-hmm. as in, bought and paid for.
Yeah.
But, and it describes how the pharmaceutical industry and with the vaccines, as well as the food industry with genetically engineered and the agriculture business, and of course we already mentioned USDA and FDA, and Wall Street. So all these companies, all corporations, they're all under stock market, and it's all about making money. And the customers, typically the customer be damned, as long as we make profit for the shareholders, that's what's more important. So this particular movie, again, is called Bought, and you can find it on Indiegogo, and you can do search by name BOUGHT, and support a very important movie in the sense that it exposes the behind-the-scenes shenanigans of corporation when it comes to medicine, drugs, vaccines, food, and everything basically that affects our health.
Yeah.
And I know that corporations are very powerful and they have a lot of money to buy influence and so on and so forth, but that doesn't mean that us little people should stand by and allow that to happen. So, we can support projects like this, and maybe one little step at a time, we can chip at the corporation and try to keep our food and health, the way it should be, and not being poisoned by all these different corporations.
Yeah, and of course, knowledge is power, and that type of knowledge gives us the power to decide to buy products by these companies or not.
Right.
And I think that the more people that stop buying products from companies that aren't doing a good job either by providing products and services that are good for us or through corruption or whatever, the more we stop buying their products, the more they're going to take notice of us.
I do believe that in the age of the internet, where we have access to much more information, it actually gives us, the regular people, more power to take matters into our own hands and actually do something about it. It can be by using Facebook or using Twitter or just being part of groups where, you have common interests, whether it's food or any kind of health issue. You can speak to other people with the same problems and not just blindly listen to what they tell us to do. And I think it's very important that we stay awake and we stay aware and we educate ourselves, and in order for us to protect ourselves and our families.
Yeah, that's very true. Talking of that, should we believe what they tell us to do? Let's move on to our main story of the week. Should we believe the health gurus? When I first got interested in natural health, there were obviously many, many people who were giving their advice. Now, back then, much of the advice was don't eat fat, eat more carbs, eat all this sugar-loaded stuff. But really, that never struck home with me. There were so many holes in the arguments that these people were giving that I found it very difficult to believe and trust their advice. And obviously, hindsight is a great thing. In many ways, I was very fortunate that I decided to educate myself rather than just blindly listen to somebody who seemed to be important, somebody who seemed to know what they were talking about. Go off and do my own investigation and find out what the truth was. The other thing I noticed was that over that same sort of period of time, when low carb and more latterly paleo were becoming popular, there were a lot of people who were claiming to be the source and authority on all things low carb or all things paleo. And many people believe them to their detriment. So my question is to you personally is, when you are looking for advice or information on looking after your health, do you actually take the time to find out if the person you're going to for that advice is actually the right person to give you that advice? Just because somebody seems to be popular, somebody seems to have written this book or that book or the other book, doesn't necessarily make them a reliable and sound authority to get that advice from. So should we believe the health gurus? Alan, what do you think?
I tend to be, as my personality tends to be, very skeptical about any claims of anyone calling themselves a guru. So I approach all of that with a grain of salt. There are people that I consider gurus, but I wouldn't call them that because they're just people I admire for what they are doing. My position has always been trust yourself to know what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to do that, you need to make an effort to educate yourself. So buy books, go on the websites. And once you start to get a little bit of education, of course, you can go to the WebMD and for like, if you have a particular health issue, you can see what indication, contraindications, and so on and so forth you can find about your health issue, and then start looking around for what makes sense for you. Because when it comes down to it, the final choice is yours.
Mm.
You don't have to listen to someone that, you know, takes only 10 minutes to sit down with you, and most of the time he's looking at his clipboard and doesn't even look at you. And then off you're on your way. I prefer alternative medicine personally, because they tend to spend more time with you. They actually try to understand what your problem is, your health history, your family background. And then they're more likely to be able to help you that way than a doctor that is typically harried and has a certain quota of patients to see per hour in order to pay the bills and so on and so forth. And to me, that is not healthy medicine. I prefer medicine that cares. And so my personal doctor is a naturopath. It's not an MD. So they're basically naturopaths, follow the same training, but they are not. They cannot use MD at the end. They have to use ND, natural doctor.
Mm.
And there's a big war right now between MDs, and they're trying to damage the reputation of natural doctors. And I think it's completely, it shouldn't be, because they're complementary.
Mm.
You know, you need the old-fashioned doctor. I still remember my old-fashioned doctors being a family doctor, someone that knew your parents, knew possibly your grandparents, and knew you because, you know, they were there when you were born.
Mm.
So they know you, and you, it's very difficult now to get this kind of follow-up from any kind of Western style medicine, because everything is so much about, you know, making money and paying the bills and you know, selling drugs instead of offering advice, common sense advice. So typically when I hear anyone called a guru, I cringe, and I would question that, you know, first.
Mm.
But I will also look into it. And, you know, of course, I have more experience than most people have on trying to figure out whether what they say makes any sense or not. But you have to trust your own gut feeling as well. You have to trust that you, of all people, know best what's going on with your body.
Mm-hmm.
And if your doctor says, well, it's all in your head, when your gut is in pain because of something you ate, you know it's not in your head, it's in your gut. And so that's just a simple example. Of course, when it comes to very difficult health issues like cancer or anything like this, I would say, you know, maybe get looked by a regular doctor, but don't be afraid to look at alternative options. It's not that expensive. And I try to weigh what, you know, what feels right for you, not just the general population. I mean, some people will benefit from some ways to approach, you know, an illness, and some people will not.
Mm.
So, you know, again, the final decision is yours. And when you approach a guru, whether it's a highly recommended doctor or even a highly publicized health guru, a writer or something, I would do my homework. One of the things, strangely enough, one of the things I do is I go to Amazon.com, I read all the reviews on the book, and I always start by the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Always start by the one star to find out the flaws, the potential flaws. And then I move up to number 5, because I pretty much realize that number 5 is all going to be good news. Well, you know, because you have fans out there. I mean, I have fans, and these people are fans. And, of course, the 5-star would be all good stuff.
Yeah.
But I also find some people that do actually very good reviews, even if they are maybe negative, they actually bring out some very good points. And that kind of gives me a hint, okay, is that person, you can, you know, you, of course you'll see also people are just out there to just say bad things,
yeah,
no matter what. But when you see a critique that's actually well thought out, it makes you wonder, okay, maybe he's got a point, maybe I should look into that or not, or maybe I should avoid the book or not, it's up to you, you know. Again, and then do a Google search and do a review on such and such name and see what comes up, and then take it from there.
One of the things that I find annoying is when people put their faith and trust in gurus without actually taking responsibility for their own health and well-being.
Yes, yes. It's unfortunately, it's a result of the modern medicine as it is evolved the past, I would say, I don't know, 40, 50 years, literally after the war, where the doctor poses as the all-knowing, God-like person that we should all absolutely believe and trust blindly. I think this is changing, and all for the good, in my opinion. We should approach everyone, including the alternative doctors, with a grain of salt, but don't necessarily dismiss the alternative medicine as being, you know, either wrong or quacks or, you know, a bunch of liars. You know, let's be honest, you know, natural medicine has been around a lot longer than Western medicine, so maybe there's something to it, you know.
Yes, I would agree. And the other thing I find curious is the fact that modern medicine, which has a comparatively short history, is called conventional medicine. And the old medicine that's been around for millennia is called alternative.
Absolutely.
I never quite got my head around that one.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. They've definitely done a good marketing job on posing themselves as the experts in everything medicine, when herbalist and... you know, all sorts of natural ways of healing has been pushed aside as being non-scientific. Well, I'm sorry, but if something has worked for 3,000 years, ever since the Greek said use food as your medicine, maybe they had a point, you know? Maybe we should think about that and not just believe that drug is the answer for everything.
That's true. That's very true. Excellent. Moving on. So this week we've had quite a few questions sent in, but one of the ones that caught my eye was, again, asking about the paleo diet, and to a certain extent it's going to refer to the low-carb diet, and that was simply, is the paleo diet suitable for vegetarian or vegans? Well, my take on that is, for the vegetarian, quite possibly, but a vegan, that's a very difficult question to answer. Alan, as far as vegetarians go, do you think that they can follow a paleo or even a low-carb diet?
Well, I agree with you. It's possible to follow the paleo diet when you're a vegetarian, as long as you're not against eating dairy products and eggs, for example. If you stay away from meat, I guess it's still very possible, as long as you have some form of animal protein. So if you're vegetarian, I would say yes, it's possible. As long as you avoid all the processed foods and everything we already mentioned before, it's perfectly suitable, and you should be good doing well on that. As far as vegans is concerned, I'm sorry to say that it's just not possible to be on the paleo diet if you're vegan, because it's basically any animal source protein is forbidden in on the vegan diet. So that takes out basically the core of the paleo diet, which is protein, you know. So yes, you can get protein from vegetables, you know, if you combine beans and rice, that's a good way to get a vegetable based protein. It's still not an animal-based protein, which is what our body needs. We can live on a vegetable-based protein combination, but we cannot thrive on it, because your body needs protein in order to rebuild their cells. I mean, animal protein, that is. On the vegan side, I like algae as a source of protein. It's vegan, and it's okay, and it's very healthy. I mean, I take it every day, but In my opinion, we do need animal-based protein in order to rebuild our muscles and organs and, you know, everything. Everything our body needs to survive. So vegan, no. Vegetarian, possible, yes.
On that score, I can't eat a vegan diet. A lot of vegetables just don't agree with me whatsoever.
Right, right.
You know, I have to have protein. I have to have animal fats or other fats as well.
Right, right.
If I go just for vegetables, sorry to be very graphic, but I get bloated and get lots of gas.
Right. So, well, it's free energy.
I knew you'd find it positive. Now, I've got a question for you. Have you actually stopped to think about how you've chosen to eat the things that you actually eat? I find that there are an uncomfortable number of people whose food choices are based not on what they know they should eat because it's good for their body, but more based on habit, tradition, and things that have got nothing to do with nutrition at all. So I suppose that really my tip is actually more of a challenge. And the challenge is directly to you that you become more mindful of your eating decisions, that you decide to eat food because it's good for you rather than just because you've always eaten it, or it's the thing that you eat at that particular time of day, in that particular setting, on that social occasion, or whatever. The food choices we make determine the bodies that we have, so it's always best that we make those decisions wisely.
Well, let me put my 2 cents into it.
Yeah, okay.
I believe that more and more, it's changing for the positive, but up until recently, most people made their food choice decision based on advertising, marketing and advertising.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Basically, you have corporation telling you what to eat and disguise it in a very attractive and appealing form and make it look fun, or, you know, you'll be the hunk of a town if you eat that kind of food or if you buy this kind of car.
Yeah.
I don't think it's right to base your food choice based on marketing or what the corporation wants you to eat, because most likely it's not healthy. Most likely it's very processed. You typically don't see corporation advertising fruits and vegetables. That should give you a hint, right?
That's
there.
That's very true. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
all. Everything in the market is either fast food or processed food. So, it can't be good for you.
No. And of course, they don't spend a lot of time advertising fruit and vegetables because there's no branding there, is there?
No.
You can't brand it. You can't really brand a carrot.
You can't copyright it. And you can't brand it. So there's no money to be made on an orange. I mean, you have orange-based products like juices, which also, I mean, it's also processed food and is added sugar to it, sometimes even high fructose corn syrup. So again, it's a processed food, so I would recommend against it. It's not that hard to squeeze a couple of oranges, fresh oranges in the morning to get your orange juice, you know, right there fresh instead of out of a bottle and make a corporation rich in the process.
Yeah. So there you go. That's all we've got for you this week. I hope you've enjoyed everything that we've spoken about. Don't forget that this program isn't about us. It's actually about you. So if you've got something that you want to say, get in touch with us either through the website or through our Facebook page, or just by picking up your pen and sending a letter. All of the contact details are in the program notes. So have a great week, and we will see you again very soon. It's goodbye from me, Mark Moxham.
And goodbye from Alan Bro. And thank you for liking us on Facebook. And let us know that you are actually with us on this. Talk to you next time.
Thanks again. Cheerio.